I'll leave this up for when Mr. Richardson speaks. First, thank you all for coming today. We appreciate you being here. It's an exciting day for us. And one thing I would like to ask, do differently today, since Dave's new, when you ask a question, and I'll identify you, but if you can just state, you know, who you are in your organization so he can become familiar with you. And Mr. Richardson.
It's been a while since I seen you folks. You miss me? Tom, did you miss me? Did you miss me, Tom? Yeah. I think you said 12 times I didn't do something right. Are you up to 13 yet? Well, first, as Charlie says, we thank you for being here. This process has been interesting. In the selection of Dave, we had some extraordinary candidates. We took our time. I think it was helpful for me personally to have Ernie Accorsi with Danny and me when we did the interviews, somebody that I trusted and I have a long experience with. And one of the things that attracted me, us, all of us, but particularly me, to Dave, was the fact he'd been with an organization that I have a very high regard for and his experience level. One of the things a general manager has to do is he has to be able to fix things. And there, you may not know what I mean by that, but Ron and Dave definitely know what I mean by that. There's always something going on. And I think his experience will benefit not only the organization, but they'll be terrific for Ron this time in his career. So, Dave, if you would come up and please introduce your family.
Wow. I'd like to introduce my family, people who helped me get here. My wife, Joanne, of 28 years, my son, Sam, my daughter, Anna Jane, and my son, Aaron. Just real quick, to begin with, I'd like to thank all the people that have made this possible. Mr. Richardson, my family, of course, Ernie Accorsi, and the Lord. I'm very fortunate to have come to an organization with similar philosophies to the one that I just left, doing business with integrity, honesty, as well as having a similar structure and a family atmosphere. I'm excited to work with and learn from the current Panther family. And from this point on, it's about working together to fulfill Mr. Richardson's dream. Questions?
Mark James, 610 Fan.
I'm sorry?
Mark James, 610 Fan, WFNZ. How are you?
Terrific. How are you doing?
In terms of the offensive coordinator search, I know a couple of candidates were in here yesterday. What exactly are you looking for? And have you interviewed all the potential candidates to fill that position?
Well, very quickly, we're looking for someone that presents us with a balanced offense, going to protect the quarterback. So we're at a point right now where we're not completely done with the search, but we are in the process in getting into it, and we'd like to come to a conclusion as quickly as possible.
With the Associated Press, can you just talk, Steve Reed with the Associated Press? Can you just talk about, you know, you've been in this business a long time, and just finally, what it feels like to get this opportunity and. I know it's been a lot.
It's been 25 years I've been in the industry. I've learned from some great, great people. I feel more than ever that with the background I have from the different philosophies I've employed and learned from and the different ways there are to build a team, I feel very, very comfortable that this is absolutely. They say good things come to those who wait, and this is absolutely the perfect fit for me.
Dave Taylor, Zarzer, 610 Fan. Can you talk about the reason you took a step back last year with the Giants?
You know, it's interesting that you should ask that. First of all, it was completely initiated by me. I'd been in the league 24 years, 25 years at that point, and frankly was a little frustrated at the lack of opportunities I'd had to even interview for GM positions. I read a great book about 7 years ago, and it was written by Bob Buford, and it was called Moving from Success to Significance. I think without being arrogant or bragging, I've had a pretty successful career. It was time for me to move to significance, and part of that is thinking about legacy. As you get older, I'm 61, as you guys know, as you get older, you need to think about those things. You know, what is your legacy? I never wanted to become someone who went to work to collect a paycheck. So with that thought in mind, after the last go-around last year where there were 4 GM positions open, and frankly, I couldn't get a sniff, I just thought it was time to think about things. And the step back was initiated by me. John Mara, Jerry Reese, and the Tisch, you know, Stephen and Jonathan Tisch, were very gracious when I explained it to them, and that I just needed to change my focus. I needed to get a broader vision. And it gave me the, and really what it really meant was I wasn't doing the mundane, and I hate to use that word, but I wasn't doing the day-to-day running a department things. I was able to really look at the league, take a look at how it was going, how it was changing. Things are constantly changing, and if you don't adapt, you're going to be in trouble. Unrestricted free agency has changed tremendously, and really if you're not ahead of that curve because you've got double the numbers that you used to have because of the league-wide cap issue. So it just gave me a chance to broaden my focus, broaden my view, and see what was really going on in the league. I'm sorry.
Joe Person with the Charlotte Observer, Dave.
Joe.
Did you ever get any sense on why those opportunities come in your way? Did you ever get any feedback or seek anybody out?
Well, it's no different for me than it is for you. It's about the person doing the hiring. And I just needed someone that was looking for an older, mature guy. That's really what it came down to. It's really what it came down to, Joe. Our culture is the next young whiz-bang is the next great thing. That's just where we're at right now as a culture. And, again, it was one of those deals where he's an old dinosaur. He's probably cranky. You know, and this and that. So the bottom line is, it's all about the person doing the hiring. If you know when cut time comes for you to make a move, Joe, you got to find the right. It's the right fit, is what it is. It's all about the fit.
Hey, Mike Solarte with News 14 Carolina. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
With you just mentioned a few minutes ago about the changing landscape of the league and salary caps and that sort of thing, you come into a situation where you may have some tough decisions to make right away, personnel-wise. How do you will you be the guy making the cap decisions, or do you have someone that will be working with you as far as a part of the term of capologist?
Well, at the end of the day, the first thing you have to do is you have to properly evaluate your team. You have to do it unemotionally. You have to do it objectively. Excuse me. So that's the first thing you have to do, and very frankly, that's next on my agenda. All right, I've got a working knowledge of the club, but certainly not enough. When it comes to the cap, the most important thing you have to do, Mike, is put the proper value on the player. That's what you have to do. You get into trouble when you overpay. The litmus test on the cap is if the ink is dry and you're not happy, then you made a mistake. That's basically it. Am I going to be making the cap? You know, we're going to be making it as a group, but And what we're going to do in everything we do, personnel, cap, whatever, is we are going to sit down, discuss the issue. We're going to make sure we ask the right questions so we get the right answer. And then we'll make decisions. If it's a situation where I've got to make a unilateral decision, that's part of the gig. That's part of my job. That's what Mr. Richardson's hired me to do.
Dave, Bill Bell with Sports Exchange, welcome. How would you describe, I know you haven't been here that long, but how would you describe this team's salary cap position right now?
You know, how would I describe it? I need more information, very frankly. Very frankly, I'm not going to say something silly. I need more information. I just got here. Mr. Richardson hired me Wednesday. My head's been spinning since. So I'm going to leave that one alone, frankly.
Scott Fowler,
Scott, nice
from
to
the
you.
Charlotte Observer, also. You were joking about not being cranky. Obviously, you've got a good sense of humor. Can you just talk a little bit more about self-describe yourself? What is your working style, and particularly also, what sort of team do you envision having here?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm pretty direct. I'm pretty honest. I think Ron and I have spent enough time together. He won't shake his head, say no. I communicate. I believe in inclusion. I don't believe in communism. Everybody needs to have their say. Everybody needs to understand that what they say is valuable. I firmly believe in a saying, every man is my equal and that I may learn from him. So we're going to be an inclusive group. At the end of the day, everybody's going to understand that it's not about who's right, it's about getting it right. All right, people want to thump their chest. I did this. Hey, give me a break. You did that. Okay, so the point is, you know, that's who I am. I'm pretty simple. My wife will vouch for that. I believe in faith, family, and football. Those are my priorities. I'm called a grinder, and I think that's a compliment in our industry. And pretty much my mother-in-law, may she rest in peace. Said with Dave Gettleman, what you see is what you get.
Bill Brzezinski from ESPN 730. What is your opinion of this football team as you look at it, a team that finished strong at the end of the season that obviously had some issues winning close games? As you looked at this opportunity, what did you think of the team on the field?
Well, excuse me, we're a quarterback-driven league. So, number one is we've got a quarterback. Number two, it's a great statement to Ron and the coaching staff that they played as hard as they did for him at the end of the year. Finished 6-4, won 5 out of the last 6. That's a heck of a statement. When you watch film, and again, I don't mean to be condescending in the least, but I've watched enough film that even when you're not when you haven't been at a game, you can see which guys are playing hard and which guys are not, which teams have mailed it in and which teams haven't. So I think that's a great tribute to Ron and the coaching staff of the strength of the finish. In terms of second part was?
Just both sides of the ball and looking ahead.
Looking ahead again, I've got to really study the tape. I've looked at the team. I told Mr. Richardson that. I told Ron that. I've got general feelings, but for me to stand up here and go through guy A through guy Z, I'm not prepared to do that. I don't think it's fair to them, and it's certainly not fair to you guys. I think that really, in terms of building a team, you need a quarterback, you need touchdown scorers, you need pass rushers, and I'll give Tom Coughlin credit on this one. He taught me big men allow you to compete. So that's to me is a winning structure.
Jonathan Jones, Charlotte Observer, how are you? You were talking about the right fit and how you didn't get those opportunities last year. When Ernie Accorsi was hired as a consultant here, did your ears kind of perk up? And when was your first engagement with Ernie post his consultant hiring here?
Well, the season ended I'm not an idiot. I saw that Mr. Richardson hired Ernie and I thought maybe this would be my shot. So the season ended and Ernie told me I was going to be on the list, and Danny asked permission, and here we stand.
The former general manager had a philosophy here. It was build through the draft, develop those players, re-sign your core players. Didn't really go out and sign big-ticket free agents. That was just the philosophy they had. Can you talk about your philosophy as you move forward in building a team?
Well, it's you have to build through the draft. You have to. You can't. You've got to raise your own. You have to raise your own. You fill in with unrestricted free agents. Getting in the unrestricted free agent market on big ticket guys is very dicey. Again, I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but we had success in New York, but with the right guys. With the right guys, with the research that we did, going through the evaluation process, we didn't miss on any big ticket guys. But it's dangerous, and the ideal thing is exactly what Marty said: you draft, you grow, you use all the avenues to add players to your team. You watch the waiver wire. You inquire about trade possibilities. You take guys off the street. You snag guys off someone else's practice squad. The roster has to be, roster building is a fluid, liquid situation. And you have to understand that if you're not improving the bottom end of your roster, you're not improving. Thank you. Worst thing is my breath. You should be on this end. Go ahead.
Obviously, you know, you're not the GM who hired Ron. What have your conversations been like with him, and did you have any background with Ron before last week?
Well, first of all, the only background I had with Ron was watching him on TV like everybody, most other people. All right. I came from a place that, you know, Jerry Reese, when Ernie when Ernie retired, Jerry Reese came in. Jerry Reese did the GM job, and we kept Tom. Now, if you remember, Tom was under incredible heat. You know, we'd gone to the playoffs, and you folks had come up there in 05 and just kicked out Fanny, but we won't go there. Then in 06, we go 8-8. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And we struggled to get into the playoffs. Tom was under a tremendous amount of heat, okay? And it's the same situation. Listen, my responsibility is to make everybody better. My job is to support everyone to get their input and move forward with clear lines of communication, with teamwork. That's my job. I told Mr. Richardson in the interview, and I told Ron when we had breakfast Thursday morning, I said, if we do this right, you and I are holding up a trophy with Mr. Richardson. That's plain and simple. I am here to make him better.
You were talking about personnel decisions. In terms of who will be helping you make those personnel decisions, do you already have a plan in place of who might be coming with you and who might be staying here in the Panthers organization that's already part of the organization?
My first year in the league, I was in Buffalo, and Hank Bullitt was fired midseason. Mav Levy came in, and Mav's a great coach. Was a great coach, had a great record. There were three coaches on Hank's staff that were outstanding coaches. Mav let them go, and that's his prerogative. We've all been let go, and again, it's the boss's prerogative. And I promised myself from that point on, if I ever got to be the king, okay, that you have to be very careful. You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I've, you know, talked to the right now, moving forward, my plan is to work with the current Panther family, as I said in my opening statement, and to get this thing right. I don't have a list. I told Ron, I don't have a list of head coaches in my back pocket. I have no interest in that. And I told the pro guys already, and I will tell the college guys, I don't have a list of personnel people in my pocket. You know, this is not what I'm interested in. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to let everybody know exactly what I'm looking for. I'm going to give everybody the tools to get it done with, and we'll evaluate as we move forward.
Hey, back to your comments earlier about the free agent market and how that can be a dicey, dangerous area. When you perhaps dip your toes into those waters, is that something that you're going to need, or I shouldn't say need, but is that something that you're going to handle as far as evaluating those players? Is that going to be you, or is that going to be player evaluations, or do you go back to your collection of the sum of the parts?
No, it's exactly. Collection of sum of the parts. The pro personnel department will be heavily involved in that. I will be evaluating players as well. That is how I got here, standing here right now. It's my strong suit. I used to tell people all the time, when things are going crazy, go to do what you do best. And for me, it's putting the clicker in my hand and moving forward. You know, it's, again, in the ideal world, you get everybody on the same page. We get clear communication from Ron and his staff about the type of player we're looking for at that position, and we find that guy. The beauty of the UFA market right now is you've gone basically from 325 UFAs to 650. Your pool has doubled. The cap is flat. There are good players out there looking for big contracts. You can't afford them. No one can afford them, so they take the one-year deals. And we had success with that last year. We had Martellus Bennett. We had Sean Locklear. I mean, they're darn good players. Sean Rogers signed, unfortunately, got hurt. But the point is, there's gold to be mined down there. You don't have to spend a ton of cash to get a good football player.
Eric. Eric Spanberg with the Business Journal.
How you doing?
Just curious, since this is your first job as general manager, what aspect of being a general manager presents the biggest learning curve for you?
That's a good question. Which one? You want me to be that specific? Right now, it's fine. Right now, it's finding the restroom. Which one? You know, obviously, you know, you. The biggest thing I've run is a pro department. There's six people. I mean, you're talking about a whole different ball of wax. You know, I got here Monday. You know, I got here yesterday, and you know, I was trying to get a moment to say hello to Mr. Richardson, but I didn't. And I'm walking in this morning. I'm wondering if he's going to be angry with me. Because I hit the ground running yesterday. It's all the getting used to working with all the moving parts. That's really what it's going to be.
Is there any kind of mentor or anybody you're seeking out for advice?
Well, I'd like to think that there's a number of people. Of course, I'll reach out to Ernie. He did it with two different clubs for a long time and had a whole lot of success. I certainly feel comfortable enough to call Jerry up and have a, hey, what's going on? You know, I'm running into this. What did you do with it? So I've got people that I'm real comfortable with that I trust what they're going to tell me.
That Jerry was Reese, correct?
Yes. I'm sorry, Jerry Reese. Oh, I can't believe you did that. Good.
Franchise has made the playoffs only three times in the last 15 years. They've missed the playoffs 4 years in a row. How far away do you think they are from being consistent playoff?
Again, I'm going to be a pain in the neck and say I need to really take a look at the roster. I don't mean to avoid it. I'm being honest. You know, there are pieces here. This is a tough league to win now. I mean, you only get 16 shots, and oh, by the way, no one's going to, whoa, the Panthers are coming in. It doesn't work that way. Okay, no, they didn't lay down for the Giants this year. That's for darn sure. So the bottom line is I got to do more evaluation. There's pieces here, obviously. You know, you turn around and beat a darn good Saints team to end the season. So, you know, there are pieces here, but we've got to really get into the evaluation process, and I'm not there yet.
You mentioned having to wait 25 years for this. When Mr. Richardson offered you the job, what were your emotions?
Oh, I thought he was kidding. No, I was shocked. I was just, you know, it happened so fast. And, you know, it just happened quick. And I just, the important thing to me was the fit. You know, I'm 61. My bride and my daughter are coming down here with me. These two knuckleheads are going to stay up north. But it was important to me that I had to be convinced they were going to be comfortable. And with Mr. Richardson and with everything, there was no doubt in my mind it was a fit.
A couple more questions.
Yeah. Twitter, WFNZ. You started out as a high school football coach. How do you think that helps you relate to coaching staff and possibly help you evaluate coaching staff?
Wow, is that a stretch? High school to the NFL. You know, I've been there. I got to kind of have an idea. Excuse me. It's more about having been in the league for 25 years. And I know that, you know, the coaches are under the gun now. They got 16 shots at it. You know, they're under the gun every Sunday, and you have to appreciate that. And I think I've got some insight into it. I've been around long enough. Fortunately for me, I've had more good years than bad years. And, you know, you can empathize with them and understand that this is a tough game. The thing that makes football so difficult, again, is the moving parts. You know, you've got, you know, 18-man coaching staff. You've got 61 players that are practicing. You've got support staff all over the place, and then you get onto the field and you got to get 11 guys doing the right thing for, you know, on average 65 snaps. That is not easy. That is not easy. So I get that. And, I don't know how much I appreciate it. The one thing I do remember from being a high school coach, and I will say the same thing to Ron in time, if you do your job during the week, you'll sleep good Saturday night. You'll be fine on Sunday.
What's going back to the high school thing? What would Dave Gettleman
2.5 decades ago as a high school coach in New York say or think about the Dave Gettleman now as the Panthers GM?
He'd say, you hit the lottery, Jack.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.